Craig. You'd be up for that, would you?
I would, and I know Steph, and congratulations, Steph, if you're listening in.
Right, yeah, indeed. It's pretty damn good, this week. This Craig person here in front of me, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Rather than talk to him for a second, I'm going to play something here, because you've all become familiar with this song here. Definitely single of the year for me. I've been playing it over the past few weeks. Actually, everybody's been playing it. And I'm going to give you a tiny little bit of it here, right? Just here it goes, right, like this. File under As Cool As Music Gets, really. It's the Avener. Fade Out Lines is what it's called. It's gone to number one all over Europe. Basically, it's topping the charts worldwide. What not many people know is that the man you just heard talking to me is a co-writer of the song, Craig Walker. Goodbye yourself. For those who remember good old whatever it was, the golden days of something of blah, blah, blah. Fairy Tales of Ireland. Power of Dreams is what I'm talking about. Anyway, Craig Walker from Power of Dreams, along with Phoebe Kildare, and both of them are with me now. Phoebe, are you there? Yeah.
Yes, I'm there. I'm here.
Very good, very good, very good, very good. Okay, I'll start with you, actually, Craig, first of all. How did all this come about? What is it?
Myself and Phoebe were assigned to the same publisher in France 5 years ago, and we were put together by them to write a song, and we did, and it ended up being the Fade Out Line original, which Phoebe released on her second album. It did quite well. It was used in a Luc Besson Colombiana movie, and so it got quite a bit of attention. But
Colombiana, I saw that.
Yeah,
wow, that was your woman kicking
where she's
ass,
dancing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was in that.
Yeah.
And then we kind of forgot about it, and then I think I started hearing about it last August. I got an email to say that it's been remixed by this guy, and that it's looking like it's going to work.
And who is this guy? Who is he?
He's a young guy from Nice in France. He's a DJ, and he picked up on the song. I think Phoebe probably knows more about the.
Yeah, fill us in, Phoebe. Yeah, go on.
No, I think he heard it. I think a DJ friend of his, noticed the track on the internet, on YouTube, the original track. And I think he really got into the quality of the sound, because we recorded the track in Turek Studio in London, and it was all kind of analog and you know, like white stripes recorded there, like really good microphones, and I think they really caught onto the frequencies and stuff. Anyway, and so he really loved the track and decided to do a remix of it. And it really started, you know, slowly, and then grew and grew and kept growing. It's still growing. But no, it's a great surprise.
Okay, just take me back 4 years to your album, Phoebe.
Yep.
The Inner Quake album. How different to what I'm hearing now at the Avener is the original?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's much, the original is much slower and, more slick, I think. A rock band, so we were doing something, and soulful also tunes, and we were into the blues more, so we were aiming for that direction, and we were very happy with it, and I've always felt that it was a hit, actually, when we wrote it with Craig, from the beginning, you know, I was like, oh my God, I think this is a winner. You just feel it as soon as everything clicks together, and you think, oh, this is great.
And what kind of music was the band Phoebe Kildare and the Short Straws?
We're more of a rock band, and we were very, more strong at like performing live, you know, like there had to be blood and sweat on stage, and it was a good show.
Okay, and from your point of view, Craig, I mean, you were assigned to the same publisher, Universal, right? Does somebody suggest, listen, hello, Craig, I have this other person over here called Phoebe Kildare. Any chance you two get together and write? That actually how it happens.
Usually, yeah. And because it was a French publisher, myself and Phoebe were the only... I think we were the only two English... We were the only people writing in English, I think, on the label at the time. So they kind of pushed us together, and it was great.
I think Steph Catcher, who was the A&R at the time, I think he had the idea, you know, I think he really had a vision of us two working together.
Yeah, it's true.
And I'm glad, because, I mean, it's great. Developed a friendship as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can I ask about, like, moolah, as in, you know, shekels, as in money? I mean, like, if this takes... Has it taken off in the States?
It's beginning to work.
Right.
Yeah.
So. And, like, will you two see money?
We hope so.
Yes. We will tell you about it in the next few months.
Yeah, right, I'm sure you will. All right. So, listen, what was I going to say? Phoebe, you also have been part of... Is Novavax still going?
Yes, it is, believe it or not, 10 years, 10 years, and it's still going. But, I mean, it's more now, I think Marc Collin, the leader of the band, is starting to maybe release you know, like a remake, original. He wanted to do an original songs from the singers, so going, you know, taking, going elsewhere than just doing covers, and also interested in doing a remix album from the track.
Right, because when I was playing Novel Vague on the radio, yeah. I always thought of kind of, how shall I put it, like covers in a bossa nova kind of style.
Yes, and it's quite funny. I mean, it's quite, I thought it was quite funny. I think a lot of the punk rock guys from the, you know, from the 80s who saw our shows were kind of laughing at first, and then they thought, oh, it's quite cool.
Okay, so does that mean you've got two bands these days, Phoebe Kildare and the Short Straws and Novel Vague?
No, I don't take part in the Novel Vague. There's many singers, like there's about, you know, eight singers on each album. There's many, so there's only two on tour kind of thing. I do occasional shows with them because it's become a great collective of musicians and friends. So it's great to catch up from time to time.
Right, indeed.
I'm mostly focusing on a new band now with the Berlin-based musicians because I'm based in Berlin now. So and starting a new project.
All right, well, listen, the very best of luck with that. I'm going to let
you go.
And thanks a million for talking to us, Phoebe, because I want to talk to Craig here about something.
Okay. Bye, Phoebe.
All right.
See you, Phoebe. Good luck.
Okay,
thank you.
Big kiss. Ciao.
Ciao.
Okay, Craig, ciao.
Come on. Come on, Craig. All right, Craig, let's take a look at this then. I mean, like, the song itself. Okay, you wrote it in a day, did you?
We wrote it in a couple of hours.
Really?
And it was very quick, I was staying in a hotel, and Phoebe came down to the hotel. She was living in Paris at the time. And we had it nailed, really, within a couple of hours. And then we left it, and I didn't hear anything then for a while, but it ended up sounding exactly as we'd kind of written it.
Okay, well, then let's just take a look very quickly at the history of, like, why... Like, I mean, back in the day of the mid-80s to late 80s to early 90s, etc., like, one of the best things we got, I mean, in fact, one of the most praised things around was the Immigrants and Me debut album from Power Dreams. Power Dreams was you, brother, and someone else.
Yes, Mick Lennox was the bass player. Keith, my brother, was the drummer. And then we had Ian Olney came in after on the second album from Cypress Mine, the band from Cork.
And this would be like from the middle of Ireland in Kilkenny direction and all the rest.
He was Cork.
No, but you.
Where were we from?
Yeah.
Oh, Dublin.
Oh, no, I know you're from Dublin, but like, I mean, like in terms of the Immigrants, I mean, I remember always there was the thing when you had Stano as the producer.
He produced
the first one,
I mean, our first break was on your show. You and Ian Wilson gave us our first break.
And Ian is just four yards up the corridor doing, he's doing the countrywide programme as we speak, or at least it's over now, but yeah.
We did loads of sessions, and it was amazing. Yeah. I was telling your producer, Etten, about this, that at that time it was so expensive to record demos, and there wasn't a lot of money around in Ireland, and it was such a good outlet to go and record new songs, and you know, off the back of the demos that the sessions that we'd recorded with you, it helped us to get signed to Satanta Records, because they the fledgling Satanta Records.
Dave Cullen.
Keith Cullen.
Keith, I mean, yeah.
Almost.
That's right. God, I'm beginning to forget the names of them, all right. Yeah.
And through that, he released the first EP, which got the whole ball rolling for us, you know.
Exactly, and also, like, I remember the late 80s, early 90s, there was an NME thing, like, saying who's going to be the best new things, and you were one of them, and Carter, the Unstoppable Sex Machine, and the Charlotans were another.
Oh, well, it's
it was the three of you guys, you know. And when the first album came out, I mean, the response was so big. I mean, like, you, for instance, did a tour that, like, hit 30 countries and a bunch of continents and that. What was that like, as young Dubliners setting off around the world?
That was amazing. I mean, we were, like, I was 18, and Keith and Mick were, like, 17, and we were kids, basically. It's the best, I'd recommend it to anybody. It's the best way to see the world at that age, just with your mates and playing rock and roll shows every night and being brought into a world that you didn't know.
Can't really argue with that.
We toured with The Mission for a long time, which was quite interesting.
Really?
They were, like, hard rocking.
Wayne,
At that point.
That. They weren't really hard rocking as much as that. They had these weird followers, didn't they?
They did, but, like, behind the scenes they were hard rocking. I mean, to us.
Right,
and
hard living.
Hard living.
Indeed. And then To Hell With Common Sense was the second album.
Yeah.
And then, like, it kept going. Like, in the recent times you've had Pharmacy and Archive and...
Mineral.
There was Simon, etc. Was it the Archive one, which was the one that sounded like, kind of with all the faces on the cover, it sounded like kind of a Pink Floyd-y kind of thing?
That's Archive.
That was fantastic. The first track was about 14 minutes long. It was
16.
It was brilliant. I thought that was really good.
We did really well. I mean, that band's still going. They still tour a lot, and when I joined the band they'd already done a couple of albums, so they had an audience, and then we built it. I think I did three studio albums with them, and there was a lot of touring. It was studio tours, studio tour. So that was my life for five, six years.
Well, then what is your life now? Because I know Power of Dreams, like, you kind of came back to do gigs as a kind of on a kind of a packagey kind of thing with a bunch of bands and that. But like, I mean, up till like 4 or 5 months ago, you played the gig in London.
Yeah.
At the Furnace. So, like, is Power of Dreams still a happening thing? Without the brother?
Well, I'd rather do it with him. It's not really the same without him. And I've come to realise that without him on the drums, it doesn't have the same magic. So if he's available to do stuff, but he lives in Arizona, so it's not the easiest. It's just, to be honest, it's just fun. It's good to get back together with the lads and just have a bit of crack. My focus now is I've a band called Mineral, which is based here in Paris. I work with a guy called Thierry Fournier, and he's got a studio in Paris, and we did one album so far. We'd released in 2013 on Alan McGee's 359 label. I think you had Alan in.
Yeah, that's right.
Recently, and we're working on the second one.
Yeah.
And I'm working for various different, writing for other people now, which I'm really, really happy about. I like that. If it lets me stay at home, I'm happy about it.
As in Dublin,
yeah.
Right, yeah. And what are you, Craig? A musician? Is that the one word, yeah?
Yeah. Right. I suppose songwriter. It's still the one thing I love about the whole thing is the kick you get from writing songs. It's just pure magic for me, you know. And I've never got tired of it. And I love collaborating. I was working in London recently with a girl who's only 17. It's her first. She's never really been in studios before, but she's bags of talent. And I got hooked up with her, and we, you know, it's nice to be, because I remember being that age and how weird it is to be in a studio for the first time. And so I'm enjoying that aspect of it, and finding people who can write as well. Is, you know, collaboration is an amazing thing for music, and for me. Keeps it fresh.
And do you find you're bumping into people every so often? They talk about Immigrants and Me, that debut album, because it really was pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely, all the time. And like getting like some, you know, I get emails from people who say that, like, I had one recently. This guy was saying that he'd listened to the album just after his mother died, and it helped him through that. And that's, you get that a lot, you know.
Yeah, so. You know, I could be very mean about the album and say one of the things I liked about it was the raw, almost not brilliant production with all
it
was kind of cool demo-y vibe.
Absolutely,
of it.
Yeah.
And not the sound of boring radio kind of.
Well, Ray Shulman produced it. He was from...
Sorry, Ray.
but he was great. He was the right person. He was in Gentle Giant, and he just produced the Sundays album and he'd done the Bjork debut album. So, and I was a big fan of that. Or sorry, the Sugar Cubes and the Sundays album, which I was a fan of. And he was like an older guy, and he was probably only 35, but he seemed ancient at the time to us, you know. And but he kind of guided us through it. We'd never been in big studios. He made it very simple for us, and it was, you know, I'm still
and
really
like
proud.
Do you roll with the punches? Do you just go with the way the industry is going, the way it's all so completely changed?
You've no choice.
Yeah.
You've no choice. I mean, it's completely flipped from when I started. Like, you know, you recorded albums to make music, and then you went out to promote it with that's the total opposite now. Like, you're touring to survive or become a songwriter. People still
well look
still
this one's
songs.
Doing pretty good. So listen, first of all, Mineral is the band you have out. You have the album out on Creation on Alan McGee's label, and you are writing for other people and all the rest of it. Power of Dreams still exists somewhere. It still happens if it has to happen or whatever.
Yeah.
And the Immigrants to Me actually was the 20th anniversary thing was the big issue. So but this one here, which is just something, as you say, you co-wrote in a day or whatever, and it's probably going to make some inroads in the States maybe sometime soon.
Yeah.
Then we'll see what happens after that. But it is number one all. It's very cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Has it opened doors?
For sure. Yeah, it certainly has. If I compare year on year, like this time last year, there's a lot more options.
Right,
put it that
a lot
way.
More options. All right. Well, listen, and you know, the money will flow in with this.
I hope so.
Oh, listen, Craig Walker, thanks a million for dropping in.
Thank you, Dave.
And thanks to Phoebe Kildare as well, who was on the phone with us too. And let's hear it all now, the song itself, in its entire. I'm just wondering which version. Well, I'll play this version here. Yeah, okay. This is Fade Out Lines. It's from The Avener.
Yeah.
But like, it's your song and all the rest. Okay, here it goes. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Dave.